The safety is off. There's a round in the chamber. This is Armed Alabama, sponsored by McCoy Outdoor Company, Mobile's hometown full-line outdoor sporting products and gear store, an interactive talk show discussing self-defense, product reviews, shooting tips, safety, and more. Your calls, comments, and texts welcome at 343-0106. Now, here are your hosts, retired judge and certified NRA instructor, Rusty Johnston, and certified NRA law enforcement instructor, Adam Strange.
Lights don't shine. I live my life the simple way, and you know I'm doing just fine. I fish, I hunt, and I shoot my guns, and I raise a little hell. The things I do, you know I do them well. This is my America, and I'm so proud. I don't mind, I say it loud. This is my America, God bless America, land of the free, because of the brave. This is my America.
Welcome to Armed Alabama, glad you could join us tonight. We've got a good show for you. Of course, always, this is a show about your self-defense, firearm and ammo selection, home protection, concealed carry, training, proper range etiquette, and of course, Alabama, Mississippi, and Florida law. So glad you can join us here. If you got a comment or a question, you can give us a call here at the studio, 251-343-0106. And also, we are broadcasting live on Facebook as well, not only on FM Talk 106.5, but we are broadcasting on our Facebook page, and that's Armed Alabama Radio, FM Talk 106.5. Please like, save, and follow while you're there, and that way you'll be notified of all the content that we make on our Facebook page. And always, you can go to our website, armedalabama.com, and you can listen to all of our previous shows there, all the way back to the beginning. So we have lots of shows to listen there on
the beginning
podcast.
Of our show.
No. Yeah, to the beginning
back
of,
when we were younger.
Yeah.
Back to Marconi.
2 years younger. But you can also listen to our shows on the FM Talk website there. All their podcasts are there as well, commercial free.
Worldwide.
Yes, and you can listen to the TuneIn app on your phone. So if you're out and about or whatever, not on a radio or not close to a radio, and you have your smartphone available, then you can plug in your earphones and tune into Armed Alabama every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. on the TuneIn app from your phone.
That's all over my head. I was trying to put Audible on my computer, you know, the books on tape. It took 2 or 3 hours to finally figure it out.
Need an app for that.
Yeah, well, I know. And it said, download the app. But I printed nothing. It wasn't a hot link. And it was just ridiculous.
So just because they can hear us in Thailand, don't be nervous if you call in.
Yeah, you don't have to speak Thai.
Taiwanese, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, speak Taiwanese in Thailand.
Last week, Judge, I talked about my new favorite thing. One of the things I discovered over the holidays while I was sick with the crud. I watched a lot of YouTube.
Oh, I was sick for 2 days a couple of weeks ago, right after we were together. And I guess it was you.
That's what it was. It was the crud.
Yeah. It was like aches and all my joints. Yeah. It wasn't as bad as a flu.
It was the strange crud. That's what it was. You got it. But I got a chance to watch a lot of different YouTube videos and did a lot of research on firearms. And, of course, my new favorite thing now is Innovative Arms Scorpion 9mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's an integrated suppressed 9mm pistol. So,
and originally that was an Eastern Bloc in the Cold War gun, Scorpion, and I think CZ makes it now, but it used to be really even cool then. I think it was a little submachine pistol.
Yeah, it's like a little polymer.
Yeah.
Firearm. It's neat. I mean, you can get it either in a pistol or a rifle that comes in a 16-inch barrel. Lots of different ways you can get it. One of the things in the news, Judge, was the fact that the FBI has stated that there is no clear motive on why the Las Vegas shooter killed 58 people.
Well, it's funny. I started looking that up, too, and I put in proof that Stephen Paddock actually used a bump fire stock. And I got, well, he had one in his room.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, they are getting ready to, I think, unconstitutionally take property away from me and a lot of other people that make us criminals if we don't destroy it. And yet there's no proof. And this is the president that said he was all against any kind of controls on firearms. So.
Yeah, they stated that he had rifles with bump stocks, but he didn't actually use them in the attack.
Really? That is in.
So I actually did the same thing.
And the premise of that new rule was that.
They were there, but they're not sure. I could not find where it specifically stated where the FBI or the Las Vegas Police Department stated that he used bump fire rifle to shoot into the crowd.
Yeah, I've been.
It was in the
tape.
Room.
Yeah,
they were in the room, but.
Well, you think about it. If you were going to do that, which you know we of course wouldn't, I would get probably a nice 308 or AR-10 with a good aftermarket trigger, and you know I'd soup it up from there. I wouldn't put a bump fire stock on. I'd have a great scope. But I wouldn't just
Your accuracy goes to just, I wouldn't say kneel, but
yeah,
your accuracy
it's
is...
It's like just throwing stuff out
it's
there.
It's extremely limited there, and those things are a novelty piece.
Yeah.
And definitely something that's not accurate. But the information I found was very limited, too. That was... And you know, you hear about search engines skewing... The news, by all means, they do. There's been several things that I have
tried to look
up. I go to
Drudge Report every day, and when I type in Drudge Report, it never pops up. If I start typing in the, it'll give me the truth about, you know, Nancy Pelosi, how she's wonderful. I'm thinking, what the hell? I go to the other one all the time.
That's exactly
right.
Why
isn't it popping up?
Google and Bing, they manipulate the search findings.
Yeah, no question about it. Well, Adam, did you know that today is the birthday of Thomas Paine, who wrote Common Sense, and he wrote The American Crisis, which was the one that Washington read his troops right before they crossed the Delaware to attack Trenton. These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands by it now deserves the love and thanks of men and women. So, you know, it's interesting. Paine was pretty radical and probably a atheist, but he went to France, and he was a member of their revolutionary, you know, whatever they had several names for, parliament. And then they, during one of the flips over there, Robespierre, one of them, he's in prison. And then James Monroe, who was ambassador to France, rescues him from prison, nurses him at his house for months. He finally makes it back to America after Jefferson's president, and supposedly Jefferson and somebody else were the only people at his funeral. So kind of sad. But anyway, that was a very inspiring piece there. And in fact, I think the Common Sense, I can't remember, sold something like 10,000 editions, which is like selling a million now. It was really something. And, you know, they called them pamphleteers. And, of course, in those days, unlike now, you could write a pamphlet and make up a pen name, you know, Flavius Maximus. And
poor,
it was fine.
Poor
you
Richard.
Do that in an election, and you're going to get arrested or fined.
Wasn't that true in Poor Richard's Almanac?
That's, it's really strange. It's just typical how societies progress. You know, the more corrupt the republic, the more numerous the laws. But, folks, did you get my number? 251-343-0106 here at FM Talk 106.5. We'll take calls, comments, whatever, about any kind of firearm self-defense laws. That number will take a text, or it'll take a obviously a live call. But any of that, and if we don't hear from you, we're just going to start going through some of the news. Four police officers shot in Houston last night.
Yes.
Is it time to think about ending the war on drugs? That's a good question. They were shot serving a drug warrant, you know.
And have they yet identified the two suspects that were shot and killed? I'm curious of their national origin.
Yeah. I would guess. We'll be back after this short break with more of Armed Alabama.
Like the hippies out in San Francisco do. And I'm proud to be an Okie from Muskogee. A place where even squares can have a ball.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
Now remember, when things look bad and it looks like you're not going to make it, then you got to get mean. I mean plumb mad dog mean. Because if you lose your head and you give up, then you neither live nor win. That's just the way it is.
Dying ain't, what is it, dying ain't much way of living? Or
yeah, that's my favorite line in the whole movie.
Dying
ain't much of a living, boy.
There we go. I want to thank my friend Steve Moore and his law firm, the Moore Law Firm, personal injury lawyer since 1985. They're great guys, he and his nephew Fred. You can see them on the web at www.moore, M-O-O-R-E, law firm, that's all one word, -al.com. Or go by there at 8 North Dearborn Street in Mobile. That's about a block off Bienville Square, 8 to 5 every day. Or call, you know, old-fashioned way, 251-445-7602. And, of course, no representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other lawyers. And we were talking about the shootout in Houston, and I just throw that out hypothetically. You know, every drug known to mankind was legal at different dates, but basically until 1905, 1910. And there was a drug problem, imagine this, in the 30, 40 years, 50 years after the war between the states, because people had legs cut off and armed. You know, you had a lot of pain problems. But you didn't really have the robberies. You didn't have that stuff. The minute you make something illegal, I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy meth tomorrow because it's available, and I don't think y'all are. Now, my only concern is obviously lunatics getting in the car and driving, but I think statistics show that alcohol is the most dangerous drug to consume before you drive. But we really need to think about that. You know, they talk about the opioid epidemic, which is kind of a lie. But all that aside, you know, how many people are dying, police officers are dying serving warrants, or family members are dying because they're going to the wrong address. You know, we've done this. If you just stay, I mean, it's been illegal since then, but let's say the war against drugs started with Nixon in 69. There's no progress. I mean,
matter of fact, it's going the other way, Judge.
Yeah, there's not going to be.
The problem's worse now than it was in 71.
And isn't it interesting that it required an amendment to the U.S. Constitution to outlaw alcohol? But this was done through acts of Congress and just administrative edicts. I mean, that's pretty interesting.
Now, it has gotten a lot of weapons and things into the hands of law enforcement agencies with the funding that goes along with that.
Well, and you can say, gosh, did we not have this, then we wouldn't have we'd still have, you know, Officer Friendly, you know, walking by and speaking to everybody instead of cruising by in his Bearcat with his 50 caliber on top. And, of course, what it's done to Mexico, Mexico has got a lot of problems, but it's a failed state now. I wouldn't go down there for anything in the world. Like, you know, my parents took us down there in 1963 to Mexico City, if you can imagine. And different times, though, my father has a suit on as we're going through some of the pyramids. he hired a guide who was like a history or archaeology student from the university. He had on a suit. And just, you know, back in those days, you know, some criminal wouldn't ever rob somebody wearing a suit. Now it is, I can't remember, that it's five times the murder rate in Mexico than it is in the USA.
Some interesting things coming out in Chapo's trial.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we just got to rethink that. Some people, they say there are a number of drives: food, water, sex, and addiction, or drugs, getting high. And there's some idiots that are just going to kill themselves.
We wouldn't have the drug cartel if we didn't create a market for their product.
Well, that's right. If
people that are using are financing this criminal activity.
If they could, they have perfected. It's just way too expensive. Rather than a breathalyzer type machine before you can drive, an ignition interlock, it basically monitors your eyes and microscopic, we wouldn't be able to see it, but very small movement of your eyes, you can get these computers to tell whether somebody's about to go to sleep or whether they're high on something, and it just shuts you down. And, of course, buying one now would cost, you know, $1 million, but if you had them in every car, so that might be my price for legalizing. You know, we got to have those kind of things in cars, and then it shuts you down, and you can just sit under a tree and do the dope that you want to do. So, but it's not good how this happened. It frankly ought to be a state by state. If Alabama wants to legalize, which it wouldn't, but if California and Nevada wants to legalize LSD, fine. That's their business. But, you know, that isn't how we think anymore.
Judge, while we're contemplating different things, here's one thing that actually meant to bring it up, but I forgot about it. So a friend of mine had just sent it to me. It was regard of the shooting involving Officer Tudor, and that the firearm that was used to shoot and kill him, was a firearm that was stolen out of a vehicle.
Probably it was in the vehicle because they went to a place that said no guns allowed. That's how a lot of them.
Well, one of the things is city councilor is talking about maybe fining people who have firearms stolen out of their vehicles.
And, of course, they don't have the right to. We have a preemption law with that last Firearms Act.
Yeah, well, a lot of times so people have to leave their firearm in a vehicle because either a place of business or a place downtown doesn't allow firearms, so they leave.
Yeah, whatever, yeah.
They leave the firearm in the car.
And I'm still interested. How do they know it was an unlocked car?
Exactly.
You know, we've got a lot of misinformation about this case. And, I mean, my car's locked all the time if there's zero in it.
Absolutely. And I've made sure that I have a habit of locking my vehicle. Yep. But the thing about it is the flip
I've locked
side
it and locked my keys in it 100 times.
The flip side of that, Judge, is that's your firearm.
That's right.
You're responsible for that firearm, and you're responsible for every round that's in that firearm.
Of course, it ought
firearm
to be hidden.
Yeah.
You should never just leave it out. And out that goes and open, with anything valuable.
Out and open. And right. Also you can buy lock boxes and vehicles and stuff like that. Especially like easy things that may be easy to break into, like Jeeps and stuff. There's lots of lock boxes that are specifically made to bolt into Jeeps.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was looking at those the other day. Yeah, that's exactly right. And it's these simplistic solutions that seem really great. Let's pass another law. And by the way, I see our coffee magnate, Schultz, who's running. He made a statement the other day or months ago about 70% of the American people agree with me that we shouldn't have weapons of war, that people should be. Well, I don't know of any weapon of war people buy. That's what they try to call the most popular firearm in America, an AR-15. But, you know, Starbucks has always been fruity. And I'm sure he is, too.
He's a lifelong Democrat.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if he says he's going to run as an independent.
No question about it. They've reintroduced the Hearing Protection Act and the Reciprocity Act. Why do they think it's going to pass and we don't have the Republicans don't have the House?
It's not going to go anywhere.
Not going to.
What do those acts want to do?
One of them was to make reciprocity United States-wide. They don't really do anything for me one way. The other is to allow suppressors, some people call silencers, to just be sold, you know, if you have the right to purchase a gun, not go through the National Firearms Act background and all that takes months to do. They don't suppress or silence a gun so you can, you know, you can murder somebody. It just doesn't do it. It probably 25% on average. I mean, that's real broad. But you can still hear, if you had a 22 short or 22 subsonic with a suppressor and you shot somebody in an apartment, yeah, they probably couldn't hear you next door. But that's about it. You couldn't take a 45 and do that. But it's good for the environment, good for people's hearing.
Was there something else on that, Adam?
No, that was the main thing. It was something that city council is looking at, and they're going to propose different laws to, or maybe not different laws, but proposed modifications to Alabama state law.
Why don't they have another gun buyback like they had a few years ago? They had those every year, the most ridiculous waste of money. They don't do anything.
I got tickled. I seen an article, and I can't remember where it was from, but it was a lady. She was bringing in her firearm, and they asked her, you know, about selling her gun, doing the buyback thing, and she was like, well, I'm just getting rid of this one so I can go get me a better one.
Yeah, good. It is so naive to think that you can buy up that and then – why don't we buy drugs, illegal drugs? We could do that and pay people more than they could buy it for, and it would be a constant stream.
Yeah, and then we turn around and sell it to Mexico and pay for the wall.
I figured I was trying a case over a large amount of marijuana. I figured the marijuana per ounce was more expensive than cigarettes were. I mean, it was less expensive than cigarettes were. Cigarettes were more because of the taxes. We'll be right back with more of Armed Alabama.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I'm looking for Josie Wales. That'd be me. You're wanted, Wales.
I reckon I'm right talking to her. You a bounty hunter?
Man's got to do something for a living these days.
Diane ain't much of a living boy.
That's what we were thinking.
We just got through talking about that earlier.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's my favorite line.
When you watch the movie, you know, it's not hoagie. It's just not very well done, but it's a classic. And I have it.
Well, I actually watched the thing on the making of Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, really?
And it got Clint Eastwood's perspective on why he did what he did. And he felt like that the suspense and the drama leading up to the gunfight was the actual threat there, the imminent threat. And then when the actual gunfight happened, he always felt like that it would never be a long, drawn-out gunfight, as you see in the movie. It would be very fast and very violent.
Yeah.
And that's why you see that in his movies. And I think he's absolutely correct.
Oh, yeah.
So the suspense there in that movie is the actual build-up to the gunfight.
And it didn't go into it enough, but subsequent movies have. I can't think of the one I'm thinking of. But about the Civil War in Missouri and how bloody it was. What was the one a few years ago with the guy who played Spider-Man and he was in the horse movies? Anyway, you know, it was him and a black guy, and then there was a white kind of aristocrat girl, and those two were living in a cave, and it was guerrilla war in Missouri. But, of course, that was one state that actually had voted to secede, but Lincoln and his wisdom would not let them. So
you do know that Clint has a new movie out. And I wonder if anybody listening.
He's going to be 90.
Yeah. I wonder if anybody listening has seen The Mule yet.
I hadn't, but I wanted to.
I've seen two Mules for Sister Sarah.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering. In this case, he's hauling drugs.
Oh, okay.
For
yeah.
a lot of money.
Well, that's why they pat down old people and children then.
Well, I think the cartel thought he didn't fit the profile of the usual drug trafficker, so he would not be stopped. But I kind of have mixed feelings. I don't know if I want to go see it or not.
Yeah, I don't want to see him in a
bad. I don't know. Does he have a change of heart after he makes one delivery, yeah, or what happened?
Charlie, do you know, to open the window and let a wasp out of a room, that is happiness. Did you know that? To let the wasp out.
It came
from the importance of living. So don't be too critical about it. There are lots of words of wisdom in that.
Happiness at our house is when we let the dog out in time to do their business in the yard.
Yeah, well, that would be happiness too. You know, you got
to
think
about it. Just came to my mind, Joe. I don't know
the little things, like I had told you before. I wake up in the morning and seem to hear someone in the house sighing and saying that someone died last night. I immediately ask to find out who it is, and learn that it is the sharpest, most calculating fellow in town. Ah, is this not happiness?
Well, let's face it. Well, Judge, I was going to go to our caller, Mike from Daphne, but it looks like he hung up.
Waiting for a phone caller that you anticipate, and he hangs up. is that not happiness?
Call us back, Mike.
I was going to comment on, you know, 9mm has pretty much taken over. It's funny how these, if you wanted to have a big barroom discussion, you know, among a lot of police military types, you know, bring up 10 years ago, 9mm or 40 caliber.
Or 10mm.
Yeah, that'd get them going. 45, you know, that'd get them going all night. And as we know, there are three ways basically to kill somebody with a gun. You exsanguination of... bleed out. Someone bleeds out. Put enough holes through them or put the hole in the right place, they bleed out. Or central nervous system shut down, you know, your medulla. I mean, that's a lot of people claim they can pop it. I'm sure Matt Canovey can, but I wouldn't take that chance. And what's the other one?
Well, that's Matt Canovey you brought up is one of the reasons why we know so much about Missouri. And its role within the Civil War, and there is tremendous amount of caves, especially around the Springfield area.
And you know the battle up there that Wilson's Creek,
yeah,
that
right
was
outside
the
of Springfield,
second largest second earliest battle of the Civil War. The first Manassas was in July, and I think that may have been in September, and it was a pretty big battle too. I really wasn't aware of that when I went up there. But they have it properly commemorated everywhere. But, yeah, you're right, the caves and all. Mm-hmm. And supposedly there's this king of cement up there has built this doomsday bunker. But I saw one of those shows that kind of debunked it. The house is entirely concrete and goes into the caves and all this stuff. But it, interesting place.
Well, there's some so big up there, we actually got on a Jeep ride.
Mm-hmm.
And they rode us through the caves. I mean, that's how big the cave systems were.
Were they the caves that had the stalactites and stalactites?
Yeah, they had all that.
Yeah, wow. That's kind of neat, you know, since we don't have anything like that around here. We're talking about the, you know, I saw a poll the other day, and it was basically one of these where they interviewed people. And it's amazing to me how ready and willing people are, number one, to surrender my right, your right, your right, constitutional right to keep and bear arms. And then they seem to think that there's never been an evil government in the world that has murdered people that didn't have the way to fight back.
Yeah, Pol Pot.
Oh, yeah, just Rwanda. I mean, you could. There were more murders in the 20th century called democide. Governments murdering their own people, and I don't mean in a war. I mean like, you know, Hitler, Rwanda, Pol Pot. Then the, you know—
Stalin, Joseph Stalin
killed millions. And then you count the few thousand people that are killed every year with firearms, not counting suicides and all. That's kind of a small price to pay. And whatever it is, it's just really not their business. Let's discuss their right to— have religious freedom, which is really what the Constitution says. But let's discuss that, or their right not to be searched in their house. Let's decide that. So you know, it is really frightening how shallow most people are.
Well, to that point, we were we're laughing and cutting up earlier about movies, but how many movies have you seen where an individual was stopped by some form of law enforcement, or whatever, and said, "All right, let's have a look in your car."
Yeah, exactly. And when we have kind of questioned people in classes, and I don't, these people are not stupid. You know, maybe ignorant is the word because they hadn't studied up on it. But I've had people say, "You mean you have the right to tell the police they can't search your car?" And my response usually is, why do you think they ask you? I mean, it's a question on the end of that. And I don't care, you know, if you are, you know, the Pope on the way. That's probably not a good example. But you're the most righteous. Never, 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 never. You just do not yield that. And that the nonsensical argument, "I don't have anything to hide." That's not the point. You just don't give away your rights like that. If they have reason to believe you've done something and can convince a judge to issue a search warrant, fine.
Yeah, and they have the right.
Or they look through the windshield and see a bag of meth on the seat.
They have the right to detain you until that happens.
Yeah, but just to, you know, most police are great folks, but there's some areas where a traffic stop is just a pretext. Let's see what else we can find. And if it – can we do a safety inspection of your car? What is this lure tab under the seat? That's what it looks like to me. No, don't let them do that. And they understand that. They get told no all the time. So just don't – but you got to kind of change your attitude that, oh, I'm not here today to play the citizen supporting police. I'm here to be – defensive.
Lure tab, baggy, you know, partially smoked blunt that is
smell of marijuana when I stop the car.
But the thing about it is like, how many people have exposure to the inside of your car?
Yeah.
And the answer is a lot.
I've always told the story, what if it's your daughter's boyfriend has dropped marijuana or residue or something out of his pocket?
Absolutely, or the car wash places where people lean in and vacuum it out.
Right.
Or if you get your oil change, or if you have tires, new tires or tires balanced and rotated, brakes done or whatever. And a lot of times you're not there for that. And not saying that those people are bad or whatever.
And I'm not saying they planned it. They might have had a lure tab in their pocket.
It just absolutely inadvertently fall out. They could have a prescription for it, but you don't.
That's right. That's right. And then it's found in your car, and you're under arrest. So you just don't want to go down that road. I've got some interesting.
So if you say no, can the officer say, "Well, then you need to follow me to the station"? So
no, generally not. If it is a pure traffic stop, the Supreme Court's ruled in the last 2-3 years that they can't stall you and wait for a drug dog or whatever. They have to let you go within the time it would take to do a normal stop like that.
Yeah.
So you can get, if they can get a warrant, but obviously they're not. It's just a routine thing, and the unsuspecting just don't think about it.
Well, and they could suspect. They could suspect.
All it takes is an anonymous call saying, "I saw a pickup truck between marker so-and-so and so-and-so, and I could see a bunch of marijuana in the back of it," and the Supreme Court's held that's a valid stop at least.
Mm-hmm. Or they were driving erratically, maybe.
If they see more, they can – but no, you don't want
– Then at that time, you definitely want the officer or officers to ask a series of questions to, at least investigate the individual or driver where, a complaint might have been called in or filed.
Oh, yeah. No question about that. But, you got to stand up for yourself. We're genial people. We generally don't like to argue. And,
you're being a nice person. Say, "I don't have anything to hide." Help yourself.
Right. I've actually,
you're giving up your right to privacy if you do say yes.
Yeah, exactly. I've actually got an article on that that is how many minutes do we have left, Charlie?
About 20 seconds.
Okay, well, we'll get back a minute. So many people, when they are asked, let's say for a grand jury, "I refuse to answer that question on the ground that my answer may tend to incriminate me."
Fifth Amendment.
Or the advice of my lawyer refused to answer that question as to any answer may tend to incriminate. Wrong answer. We'll be back in a minute. Because it implies you're a criminal.
They're walking on the fighting side of me, running down a way of life.
Benny Parton died to be.
Step up to the firing line. Armed Alabama is back. Questions, comments, and texts at 343-0106.
I like you, Philip. But be assured, bite my hand, and I will put you down. Your division is in charge of native crime. Or would you rather I was in charge of native crime?
Mark,
I don't think you'd like my methods.
Yeah, I told y'all the standard answer. Let's say somebody called before grand jury, Congress, whatever. I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that the answer to that question may tend to incriminate me. Supreme Court has said there are no particular words you need to use, but you need to convey the idea that you are you're using the Fifth Amendment, U.S. Constitution, to shield you from answering the question. On the advice of my lawyer, I respectfully declined to answer that question on the basis of the Fifth Amendment of the United States Constitution, which protects everyone, even innocent people, from the need to answer questions if the truth might be used to create a misleading impression that they were somehow involved in a crime which they did not commit. That just sounds so much better.
Yep.
People are given – lawyers give their clients, you know, cards to read these things anyway. But I was looking at one case, it may have been the House Un-American Activities Committee, where somebody said 200 and something times, I refused to answer that question on the ground and may intend to incriminate me.
But it certainly, that generates an impression, I think, with the jurors that this guy's hiding something.
That you're hiding something.
And he may not be at all.
They're going to be instructed, don't hold that against him.
Yeah.
But that's like, you didn't hear that bell ring. You know,
or a judge telling the jury, ignore that last piece of testimony. Well, they heard it. How can you ignore it?
Charlie, I made a mistake last week. I mentioned the Supreme Court had taken up a new case and got confused because it had a bunch of other ones. The case they've taken up is the so-called Sullivan Act in New York City, which has been in effect over 100 years, which says that if you legally own a firearm in New York, you have a permit or whatever – the only place you can take that gun is between your residence and the shooting range. You cannot take it on a trip with you, even if it's locked in a box, unloaded in your trunk. It cannot leave your home. And that, I think the reason they took it, they take those on what they call certiorari. They pick them. And I think the reason they pick that is it's so outrageous and over the top, kind of like the Washington, D.C. gun ban. It'll be an easy case to strike down and then further say, hopefully, by the way, the Second Amendment, like the first, should be strictly construed. It should be, you know, the government ought to should have to prove a compelling state interest in order for a law to be upheld. And they're not doing that now. So,
where was that from? New York?
Yeah, New York. It's been in effect, I think, since 1913. Why did they put up with that? You know, that's... I guess it's incremental. You know, at first, we need to ban machine guns. You know, it's just criminals running around with machine guns, and then it's every increment seems reasonable until you wake up one day and you've got, you know, Mao Zedong killing everybody, and you don't have a way to fight back.
It's like the story of boiling a frog in water.
Yeah, there you go. Which, by the way, is not true. That will not happen.
No, but if you drop them in boiling water, it's certainly going to have a reaction.
I know.
But if you slowly warm the water to the boiling point, he'll sit right there.
Well, they say that isn't true. He'll jump out. But it's a good analogy, and I've never tried it. So
I like frogs too much.
How would I really know? Want to thank again Steve Moore. If you have a personal injury, his car wreck, slip and fall, some industrial accident, something like that, give Steve or Fred Moore a call at their law office, the Moore Law Firm. They're on 8 North Dearborn Street. That's right about a block off Bienville Square. Great guys. Went to school with Steve. And or you can catch them on the internet at moorelawfirm.com. While you got money here, you get your refund check. Go out and get a Mike Ward Liberty safe, great safes, and they're at the Service Road, Moffett Road, where it hits I-65. Or you could go to Hunter Security and get, I think the best thing to get if you're in a limited budget is a doorbell camera, you know. But if you don't have the money for that, I mean, if your air conditioned probably or heater's broken, especially a night heater, you need to call up Hansen Heating and Air and get that heater going, because all kind of bad things can happen. And I'm going to show you something real quick. This I got from Spring Hill Ace Hardware, and this is not wire. It's used like a wire brush, but it's some kind of, I don't know, fiber. And it did a great job of cleaning, not as dangerous, and doesn't rust. So Ace Hardware Store, thank you, Spring Hill, Crayola, and Moffitt Road. They're all good folks. Now, we mentioned we're kind of doing a little reset on YouTube, because I'm not sure where that's going. But we do have a YouTube channel. That's Armed Alabama on the YouTube. And if you like the page you're on, if you get to Facebook, if you're not on it now, like the page so you'll get notifications when we go live. Because one of these days we're going to have special live shows that might be, you know, a Saturday afternoon or something like that. So we'll work on that. But you got to like the page so you can find out when we are on. No question about that. Let's see. McCoy Outdoor, anything related whatsoever to hunting, fishing. God, you want to get into primitive weapons, bow and arrows, ammunition, shoes, cleaning your guns. Go to McCoy Outdoor. If you got a problem with a gun, they got a gunsmith there who can work on it. So go by there. They're on Spring Hill Avenue, just west of I-65. If you remember back this far, where K&B Drugs used to be. I want to thank Matt Green. He's a sponsor of our show downtown. Once again, no representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services to be performed by other lawyers. Saw Matt last night, as a matter of fact, gave him his Christmas present finally. I've got still one or two more to give out.
Judge, to tag on what you said a while ago, I just quickly looked up motor vehicle deaths versus firearm deaths.
Okay.
And so, I was trying to find whether maybe not necessarily deaths within car wrecks, but deaths within people being struck by cars or pedestrians being struck by automobiles, mm-hmm. versus, firearm deaths, yep. or whatever. Anyway, there's steadily pretty much – it's been about 15,000 to 18,000 people a year difference.
And, you know, I'm not criticizing everybody, but a lot of those are impaired people. A lot of them are great law-abiding people that just have gotten run down by a car, but a lot of them are drunk or on drugs, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're just walking out in the middle of the street.
So the first time the metric was measured is 1999. You had around 44,000 automobile deaths, and you had around 27,000 to 28,000 firearm deaths.
And aren't the firearm deaths around 32 now?
Yeah.
It's two-thirds of them suicides.
Well, it's around 33,000, yeah. somewhere around there.
Yeah. And, of course, the country's much, much bigger. And if the liberals have their way, it's going to be as big as China, I guess. So we'll have a real multicultural delight. We'll see our wages fall from, you know, $40,000 a year average to $1,400 a year average. So that'll be great. Something to look forward to.
Don't forget, check us out on our website, armedalabama.com. You can go there and listen to all of our previous websites. Going back to the beginning of the show, 2 years ago. It'll be 3 years in March. Yeah. Wow. Fastest 3 years yeah. of my life right there.
On Caesar's assassination day, the Ides of March. Yep.
So we have all those, I say all of them, we have most all of those shows on our podcast, from our website, armedalabama.com. And if you have
the day when you're driving,
yeah. If you have a comment or a question for the judge and myself that you happen to think about this week, you can email us, adam@armedalabama.com or thejudge@armedalabama.com.
And I'll throw in one more, info@armedalabama.com. If you can't remember any of this other stuff, info, I-N-F-O.
I'll have to write it down.
That'll get you there too. So But, you know, last week we were on in the day, and that was fun. But this is our normal time, Tuesday nights, 7 to 8. So, you know, we'll take a text, call, whatever. A little slow tonight. But love having people. And we'll see everybody next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.